I'm back with another show. With me today is Rosella Loduca. She's a singer, a dancer, dabbling in acting, and a wearer of loud bracelets. So enjoy that throughout the show. She's got really great stories about how she's doing it and pursuing her dream and, you know, her motivations and just the great creative lifestyle that she has and how she's just going for it. And it's a cool thing to listen to for anybody that is looking for motivation. I mean, there's a little bit of motivation that I got from her to do the show that I hope you guys are enjoying. And go find her. She's got great social media presence too. And all her posts are really cool to check out, especially her Instagram, where she has a lot of her fashion stuff on there, which is really cool. So check her out. Check out her groups after you listen to this. And for now, let's do this. So with me today is the lovely and talented Rosella Loduca. Rosella, thanks for making time for me today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I don't know who this person you're talking to is.
Well, there's a couple hundred right now, so it'll eventually morph into a couple hundred thousand eventually. Oy. So we're watching the draft, and I wanted to get your thoughts on the Lions were looking at some edge rusher. Oh, wait, no, sorry, wrong guess.
Why are we talking? I was like, I have zero, nothing to give you on this. No,
nothing?
What is happening?
What are your thoughts?
You know what? My boss at work today, okay, so really funny story. I get a lot of my news feed from my phone. I read a lot of news from Snapchat, and I read a lot of news from the news app that I subscribe to. And just the other week, Aaron Hernandez was all over the news, you know, plastered everywhere. And I brought that up to my boss at work. He's 28, loves sports. And I was like, Anthony, did you hear about Aaron Hernandez? And he goes, well, what is it with you women? All of a sudden, you know, it gets splashed on the news and you think you know sports. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm just like bringing it up because I have like common ground. But I really had no common ground because right. I only knew like an eighth of the story. And I was like, okay, no more sports talk.
No more sports. So you can't tell me, you know, if the Lions will be better. What's the edge rusher in the 4-3 or no? It's okay. They won't be. The spoiler alert, they won't be. They're not going to get better.
I mean, maybe if I was like on the Lions cheer team, like that would be cool. Maybe they'll be better.
And they just got one last year for the first time in franchise history.
They did. And they're doing well. I have a few friends on it. They're doing great. What's really cool is they're a lot more laid back than like the Pistons. Because the Pistons is so high caliber and high energy. Because you got to think about the sport. So basketball has,
four quarters.
No, but how many games are in the season?
82.
82, okay.
And 41 half of them, home games.
Correct. Yep. So 41 home games that girls have to be dancing at and cheering for. That's a lot. So that's a big time commitment. Versus the football, 7 games.
Right.
Boom, you're done.
Right. You danced for Oakland for 1 year? Season?
1 year.
Okay.
One full year.
And it was all basketball, or did you do other sports too?
All basketball. Okay. We made appearances to, like, the swim team had an event. We did, like, a golfing event for the alumni.
Wait. Dancers at golf?
So what happened was we were kind of like the cart girls for golf. And then during the swim meet, it was, like, their big shebang. So somebody sang the national anthem, and then all of us girls cheer and dance were on the sidelines, quote unquote, of the pool, and we were just like cheering and them on.
Good.
So it was cool. We were kind of like
used. Golf should have dancers.
We were used for everything though, and then I kind of recognized like we're used for everything. Why? Once again, here we go in the talent industry. Why am I not getting paid? You know. And
well, that sounds like it's a problem because you mentioned it earlier, where you were with a group and they were having you sing and perform, and then when it came up to the compensation, it just wasn't happening.
It wasn't there.
So is that something that, you know, they see these young artists and Rosella, you'll get into it deeper and how you got into it and what it is you do, you know, later. But is that something where these promoters are like, these people are hungry, these people want to get their name out, let's just get them to perform, and then maybe we can get them with the promise of repeat performances or booking them somewhere else and not paying them?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it's a problem.
I think the entertainment industry, especially promoters and PR managers, like, they know that I don't want to, like, categorize just the girls, because I know in, like, the dance world, there were so many girls that were, like, willing to take my spot. You know, like, oh my God, like, yeah, I want to do what you do. And, like, you don't realize that I have a full plate. Like, I work, you know, 30 hours a week.
And you're in school.
And I'm in school full time in the Honors College. And I have to go to workouts that are mandatory. I have to go to events that are mandatory. I have to go to games and perform that are mandatory. I have no life.
And not get paid.
And not get paid. So, like, the one thing that, and I would have never recognized it because I was on, like, such a high. Like, you really do as a performer. You get a high from performing for all these people, cheering for you. Like, you feel like you're on top of the world. And we got to travel. We got to, you know, go to the NCAA tournament in Wisconsin. That was on, you know, on Oakland's dollar. And that was like, oh, my God, we're finally recognized. Like, we can, you know, perform, and they think
that was when
cool.
You guys lost to North Carolina in the first round?
Sure, whatever it was. I was there. I just remember throwing cheese into the crowd. It was the weirdest thing because we were in Wisconsin.
You're in Wisconsin.
And I was like, really? Like, you know, my coach gave us this. I'm usually like, we'll throw t-shirts or whatever into the crowd. And it was like, we're throwing cheese into the crowd, guys. Okay, we're going to smell, but it's fine.
Yeah, but as long as it was Michigan cheese into the Wisconsin crowd, so you troll them a little bit.
I don't even know what it was. Like I said, it was just so strange, but it was cool.
Pretty sure. Well, the tournament run, you know, Oakland's basketball program is, it's really good, and they haven't had a whole lot of national success in the tournament and everything, but it's real exciting during the season around here locally for people that follow it. So to be in that and on that team and to be a part of a, you know, the NCAA tournament, they haven't they haven't been back since that year. And
no, they haven't.
No, so that had to be great. But then you said all the work and everything that went into it. You know, 41 games for a pro basketball. You know, you guys, was it different routines every game? Did you cycle them and so it would look like it was fresh? Or
sometimes, but for the most part, it was like a different routine just to keep us fresh. But one thing that I recognized, and even like some of the dancers that I was with, we had said, why is it that we work just as hard, if not harder, than the boys who are in these sports and we're cheering for? And they get scholarship. They get their books paid. They get room and board paid. But the girls who are doing the cheer and the dance, who are there for just as many hours, are not doing the same sport. We're a complementary sport. So if we were like in economics and it was like ketchup and mustard, we go together. Mm-hmm. You can't have, you know, basketball players without having the cheerleaders. What is that? That's not the whole experience.
Well, I mean, so you can get into a couple different conversations when you talk about, you know, college athletes and how they're compensated. And then you can get into the Title IX conversation as well. And Title IX is that, you know, each college should offer an equal amount of scholarships to women athletes as they do to pro athletes. So then the universities and the athletic departments are looking at, well, what are we going to consider athletics?
Correct. But if we're going to, what are we considering athletics was the biggest question. We were umbrellaed under athletics. There was another dance team that was performing and they were like a private competitive dance team. So they did ballet, they did lyrical.
This was for Oakland.
For Oakland.
Okay.
And they were like their own entity. They had their own name. Like the only thing that we shared in common was that we were at the same university. But we had, quote unquote, like the better platform because we had more followers and people wanted to be more in our state. You know, we were more popular in that sense. The athletics would call on us for everything. But then we got called on for everything. And like to a certain extent, you're like, oh, my God, I'm exhausted. Like, and I'm not getting equal amount in return. So and actually, unfortunately, this past year, I was able to dance with a few of my dancers at the alumni game. And
I saw that.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
Cool that they did that.
It was so fun. But they athletics had actually decided to nullify completely dance team and cheer team.
Oh, it's gone. They cut it.
It's gone. They cut the program. There is going to be a quote unquote like spirit squad. So like no talent, quote, I don't know who they're going to attract, but like no actual dancer talent, no actual cheer talent. Like there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that go into studios and
for
to
sure.
gymnasts and stuff. And I don't feel like they're
so
recognized.
What would your guys' practices look like then? I mean, I'm sure it was a couple hours, just like the men's basketball team practices.
Yeah, it was like three times a week. So, like, my schedule, and, like, granted, this was, like, 3-4 years ago now. My schedule was stupid, nuts, and it was a lot of weight. But it was everything that I loved doing. So I was on, like I said, that year I was on a high. I would go to class in the morning, like from 9 to 12, and then we would have workouts that you can fit in. I usually would go straight to the gym, to our private gym, mm-hmm. have our private trainers. So we had all the accessibility that athletes did.
So there is some funding then.
There is some funding.
But there were no scholarships. There was no, partials or grants or, anything like that.
Nope.
Are there any dance teams or anything like that throughout, the NCAA schools or whatever that get anything like that?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't researched it enough. I had friends that danced at Central. That was the closest I got. I mean, maybe at Michigan State or like U of M, but I don't know.
So Rosella, we've known each other for a while, obviously, when you're just a little one, and to watch you just grow and, become so, almost, I'm not going to lie. Like I look at, how you promote yourself.
God. Here we go. Compliments.
No,
it's
fine.
I can't take them.
Listen, I look how you promote yourself and I look, it's like, she's chasing what she really likes. You dance at Oakland like we just talked about.
Mm-hmm. I teach now too.
You teach, which mm-hmm. is awesome. I didn't know that. What are you teaching?
I'm fortunate enough to be involved in after school elementary programs.
Oh, cool.
So they just go for camps at Birmingham. We're trying to expand to Rochester schools, Utica. And they go like case by case. So I'm like contingent. But the athletic director that I work for, it's called Seton Athletics, and we'll do, like I said, 6 week camps, and they're like cheer and dance based. So I get to use everything that I've learned and all my experience and like just implement it into the little ones. And like, it's so fun. It's right. just so fun. Like when I first started, they would just hug me. They'd be like, "Hi, Coach Ro." And I'm like, "You don't even know me." And they're just hugging me. It's the best source of joy. It's like literally like 12 Giovannas at one time.
It's cool. So, that's cool too. And then the singing, the singing is your wheelhouse. I mean, I think it's really neat that you do that and you continue to chase it, especially, forgive me if I'm out of line, but I think the bastardization of, the art of singing and the art of performing with the voice and America's Got Talent and American Idol and, thousands and thousands and thousands of people are going to go rush up there and think they're a star, but because they can sing good in the shower. Well, I sing damn good in the shower too. The acoustics mm-hmm. are great, mm-hmm. but for the hard work and everything that a performer like you puts in, and to continue to see you do it, and then that was huge for me to say, who am I to sit on the sidelines and not do something I want to do? So I
thought, really,
I just I'm not gonna lie. Rosella had a little bit for me to do this.
Yes, air high five, boom bang. But, no, I appreciate that.
No, so.
I was one of the million people actually that like ran up to like The Voice and American Idol. I did that. I started at 16 because I thought, oh my, like so naive. And even my parents were like, okay, let's try this.
But unfortunately, I think half of that show, and I'll watch the first couple episodes.
First of all, it's a show.
I mean, that's just it.
It's
like
ratings.
They have to draw ratings. They have to get eyes on the TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they have to have
The Voice has like, that's more about like the skills rather than like American Idol. That's
but it's still about the judges, though. Like,
yeah,
can't
it's about
lie.
The judges.
It's about the judges.
But then also like American Idol was the first wave, and The Voice is probably the more quality one for the art.
Yeah.
But American Idol, their first episodes were, what funny bastard can we put on here to make an idiot of themselves and get ratings?
Yeah, like Chong guy, like she bang. But we still talk about that guy.
Oh, we still do. But unfortunately, like someone like you or the hundreds of other people that actually have talent that weren't able to get through mm-hmm. because they had to put this schmuck through. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair to you guys because you guys work. I mean, you've been singing for how long?
Since I was in fourth grade, officially.
So you had to evolve, obviously, your style, your voice, your mm-hmm. everything, is changing, and mm-hmm. And you work hard at it.
Yeah, you can't stop it. Like, at one point, it's like who we identify ourselves to be. Like, so ever since I was young, when I would meet somebody, tell me something cool about yourself when you go into first grade. I'm Italian, like, number one. My name is Rosella. I like to dance, and then it would always be like, I like to sing, and those have been constants in my life, and I've recognized that my life is at the highest. I feel my best self when I have those two components in it, singing and dancing. And, I mean, like you said, singing is my wheel. It really is. I've recently, dabbled into acting. A friend of mine has a YouTube channel, speaking of YouTube, that we were talking about earlier, and he writes, directs, and acts in this YouTube channel. And it's called, this upcoming show, it should be coming out, it's called How to Make Friends by Doing Nice Things. And I realized, like, how crappy of an actor I am, because I can't be anyone but myself. Like, really, it's so hard to be anyone else. But that's my wheel. And as I'm growing and I'm just, you know, trying to figure out who I am as a person, I'm like, you know what? Why do I gotta, like, change? Like, I don't have to change since I was a little kid. I'm just gonna be who I was as a little kid. Life was easy that way.
Finally, someone's speaking my language.
But, like, who you were as a little kid was so much truth. And, like, it was all your talents kind of discovered. So why do we cover them up? Like, I don't want to cover them up. Like, that's what I did as a little kid. I was really caring to other kids. And, like, you know, I'd play with everyone on the playground. And then I would, like, entertain them without even recognizing I was entertaining them. And that's how I identified myself, as being an Italian girl, as being a singer, and being a dancer. And like I said, as an adult, or, you know, a young adult, and growing into coming of, you know, my 20s and 30s, however that manifests in my life, whether it's like through teaching or just singing in a choir at church, or, you know, I don't know, hanging out with the little kids and, you know, doing little camps and stuff here and there. Or if, God forbid, like, the Lord Jesus Christ has it in my cards that I do something with it and become a voice for someone and add value. That's the biggest thing, is add value. I'll accept it. I'll accept however it manifests. Because at one point I was so, like, fixated on the whole, like, I have a talent, like, I should be recognized, especially, like, in the wave of American Idol, right, and all of that. So, and I was young, so I didn't realize, like, there's so many other people that have the same talent that I do. So who cares? You can sing. So who cares? You can dance. So can a gajillion other people. And they can do the same thing.
But it's cool, know? That you didn't get discouraged. Like you said, you went in line with the hundreds of people, and and they didn't take you. They didn't pass you through. But you didn't get discouraged. You kept plugging away. And I think that's the coolest part of it, because, you know, for people that, you know, see that and have maybe fed off of that, or listening to this and hearing your story for the first time, it's easy to get discouraged. I mean, I got discouraged after I changed my major and everything to chase, you know, to chase what I want to do. And, you know, I'm dipping my toes back into it. Mm-hmm. So to me, you said you feed if there's value added. There's value right there too.
Yeah.
You know, that people can feed off of that. Mm-hmm. And that's great. You don't see a lot of that. And we talked earlier about, you know, where we're getting pushed for school.
Yeah.
And Sean last week had mentioned that it's not necessarily the thing. And
no.
I like that you said, you know, you're in school because it's, but you're not killing yourself, but you're getting the life experience out of it too.
Yeah.
And you have to get all of that in, because times change. So you're going to get life experience in all aspects of where you're at, but you're still chasing your passion, which is huge.
That's where I want my energy focused on. And, I used to be that student that was brainwashed by teachers. And I loved my teachers. Some of them are still my biggest mentors. But that I was like the cream of the crop in high school. I was the top 20 percentile. And then I went to university and I was on scholarship. And excuse me, I was on scholarship and I can't talk.
We'll pull the curtain back. Rosella's a trooper. And apologies to Joe, Ted, Sean, and Corey. She just had major surgery today.
Yesterday.
And she's still with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, and she's still with me. She had wisdom teeth pulled, and she's ready to talk with me. So talk about a trooper.
Yes.
So back to your, sorry, I just want everyone to know how awesome you are.
Thanks. This is giving me energy, though. Like, I didn't want to sit home and watch movies. Like, I didn't want to do that.
But what movie? I mean, I'm not going to lie. If it's like...
the last time...
If it's Dazed and Confused, we might have had to take a range.
No, so the last time I got the other tooth pulled that had an infection, this may be TMI for all you listeners, but it was very painful, and I had to recover over the weekend, but I watched all The Godfathers, and I was just like...
The crappy AMC edited version, or the DVD?
The Fire Stick version, so I found the best version.
Good, good.
And I just locked myself in the TV room, and like, I was like, this is who I am. This is my culture.
I mean,
we're not drug dealers or anything, but like...
You know, it's good. You said it's our culture, and I was just about to ask you. Have you ever had somebody put a horse's head in a bed for you on your behalf because you didn't get a gig? Or we're just not going to say. We'll edit this out.
It might happen in the future, just saying. I might be the next Frank Sinatra with the Rat Pack, with all the women.
For you producers and
be careful. My dad is not a very fun guy to mess with.
Label owners.
No, I'm kidding. He's fine. We all love him.
The label owners or the horse or your dad or all of them?
All of the above. We just want love. Just want love. No horse's head. That's to the extreme, though. Everyone thinks, like, oh, God, like, that's how the Italians are, and it's not how
Well, I went to a convention yesterday for work, and there was a company that was peddling their wares, and their label was for a sauce, and it said Sicilian sauce. Mm-hmm. And it had the Godfather font, and it had the little Pyrenette little thing. And I turned the label around, and I looked at my cousin, and I go, you know, I'm usually okay with this, but this is kind of offensive. I mean, this company was run by a bunch of Americans in mm-hmm. Ohio, and it's great. The tomatoes were locally sourced and everything, but
yeah.
Why do they got to have the connotation that everybody's a mobster?
Yeah.
And you know what? If we are, then you shouldn't mess with us.
Totally. I think, but there's a lot of themes that are in The Godfather and in the culture that we have. That's very, we're prideful. No matter who you are, what you do, we're prideful. And we have respect. Like, in the scene where the baker comes to the Godfather, like, everybody has their role in our society, which is great because we function. Whereas, like, we're now, not to be, like, anti-liberal because everybody has their opinion. But now everyone wants to be something that they're not or try to morph themselves into be something that they don't have to be. Like, that's not your strength. Your strength is this. Stick to it and do well at it, you know? Mm. But that's one thing that, you know, we kind of all have our roles, and the baker had respected the Godfather and, like, knew that he had a power, but then the Godfather understands, like, he has a responsibility. He doesn't just see it as power. He saw it as, like, I have to help my people. I have to bring peace and justice to this community. And I think that's something that not a lot of people view it as. I think they view it as, like, oh, it's all about the money.
Well, the crime and the money and the drugs and the drugs and the this and the that. Yep.
But these guys were still, like, not to like, uphold their society, but or their choices, because they weren't the best of choices, but they still had their families. They still came home to their wives. They still had their kids. They still were present in their lives. You know what I mean? It was hard because they were doing things that were illegal, you know, but
But I think what just, you said, it's you know, so yeah, they were going around and they're, you know, getting their beats or they're dipping their beak or whatever. And,
yeah.
But to understand, like, this is my community and I have to serve it and protect it.
Yeah.
The intentions were there.
The intentions were high.
We are a prideful people, and you know, a lot of the time that pride and passion comes out with the flailing arms and the loud voices where, you know, they can hear us in Italy when we're talking to each other.
Yeah, but we're not the only culture that does that. Like, I have a lot of Chaldean friends or, like, Albanian friends or just whatever. Anybody basically outside of the United States border is totally fine with us being loud. Like, there's no such thing as inside voice for us.
No.
There really isn't. And we're not the only people to talk with their hands. I mean, we talk mostly with our hands. We're, like, known. We're notorious for talking with our hands.
Like, right now I'm holding this bottle cap, but if I wasn't holding this bottle cap, my arms would be all over the place, even though nobody can see us.
And, like, my extraneous, like, the jingling, guys, is from all of my Alex and Ani bracelets. Wait, am I not allowed
Alex
to say
and Ani,
that?
If you want to throw me a couple bucks for that free plug, otherwise
I have a bunch of them. You should definitely promote the Salmona show.
But it's not about the money. It's totally for the passion.
Totally. Hashtag the art. Hashtag the art of broadcasting. Hashtag talk show radio all the way.
It's a long hashtag.
We make
I don't know if we can get it trending.
Yeah, we might have to shorten that up.
Let's make it art. Like, hashtag art. The singing really evolved then for you when you started... And you can plug them by all means with the Aaron Caruso and, you know, kind of going with these other people. And that's taking you some places.
He is one of my biggest mentors. What our Facebook click so is seeing is, like, the aftermath of all of the hard work and mm-hmm. sweat and tears I put into high school. So I started off, like I said, in fourth grade where I could recognize I could sing. And it was so weird. I actually was listening to an Ashley Simpson CD in my Aunt Kathy's basement, who's, like, the woman I always want to be. Like, she's
Ashley Simpson or your Aunt Kathy?
No, my Aunt Kathy.
Oh, okay.
She's my favorite person. She really is. She's amazing. But anyway, I was in her basement, and I was listening to Ashley Simpson CD, and all the words, I just glued. There was like a sponge, and I couldn't get them out of my head. So I started singing, and she's like, "Are you singing?" I'm like, "Yeah." And then I started like singing louder, and I was like, "Oh my god, I can sing a little bit. I sound like her." So then I grew enough courage to sing for my Aunt Kathy and my Uncle Franco. And we were in their old house in the kitchen, and I kind of was embarrassed. And I told them, I was like, "Okay, I'll sing for you for real if you guys don't make me face you." So I closed my eyes, and I had my back facing them. And I started singing one of the Ashley Simpson songs. And they literally looked at me like, "What? Like, you literally sound like Ashley Simpson right now, you know?" And then the next year after was fifth grade talent show, where I did it with my brother Savo, his best friends, and we reenacted American Idol. And when we reenacted American Idol, Savo was it Savo or his friend Frank? Either one of the two was going to be like the really bad singer. So they were like, "Yeah, Mary Had a Little Lamb." And they just sang like crap. And then I came out and started singing like, I think it was a Madonna song or the Star Spangled Banner. I don't remember. And
what a combination.
I know. Well, my mom really loves Madonna, so I was listening to Madonna, obviously, because that's what you listen to as a kid, whatever your parents put on. And then I was like, "Should I sing the Star Spangled Banner?" And I think I started singing either one of the two. I actually sang it, and everyone in the audience was like astounded. Like, no joke, it was just quiet. And they were like, "Holy crap, like this girl can actually sing." So that was kind of like when I was publicly discovered. And ever since then, I would be in choir, in high school. The only way I think I recognized that I could cope with all of the high stress of like academia with AP classes and all that was because I had music. So I would go to like stupid calculus, like, you know, and kill myself for this class and then have choir. And it just came so easy to me. I was like so focused in it. And, then I'd go back to freaking chemistry. Like, I'm never going to use this class in my life, you know? And then I would go to like honors band. So I played the flute. I was in, the piano studies. I performed in all the musicals since I was a freshman. So that's like the backstory that nobody really knows about, like what I was doing in high school. And that's what I was doing. And I was dancing, you know, for my dance team, my varsity dance team. And I sang the national anthems there. So then in college, it just kind of, all of those habits still remained. And I was like, "Well, I can't shut this off. Like, you know, it's who I am at this point." And I just kept doing it. And then with Bellini and Aaron Caruso and Dino Valle and Lisa Gazzi and Eva, we're all kind of singing together and sharing the same community. And I feel like people now are recognizing it, where it's like, "Hey dude, I've always been here," like, right. You know, like even I went to New York when I was 13 and I sang in a talent show there, but nobody knew about it. Like, we know about it now, kind of a thing. So it's like this coming of age thing where it seems like I'm an overnight success, but really, guys, like I've been working on it since I was little, you know. Like, my mom actually, when we were in elementary school, they really pushed music for all of us. They wanted us to learn a second language, so they taught us all Italian, and then they pushed, you know, learning Spanish or something in school because it developed the brain in a different way. And its studies have shown that. And then they also pushed music. And we all did it up until, I think, like, our sophomore year in high school, and I was the only one that really stuck with it and, like, went hard, like, marching band and everything, like, the whole nine yards, flute choir.
You were in the band?
I was in the marching band. I would be that girl that was in the marching band, had my little piccolo, and then put my piccolo down, and then go back around and, like, dance for the halftime show. And my friend Lucia, like, we were two girls, the only two girls that, like, heavily did that. The rest of the dancers were like, "Oh, band is, like, silly." And we're like, "No, it's really cool." Like, we were super involved with the music community. Like, they always push music because it developed your brain in that sense. And at this point, it's, like, giving me something to cope with my life. Like, every time I feel some type of way, the only way I know how to, like, take care of it is, like, through music. And that's what a lot of my covers are. Like, people don't recognize it, but, like, I'm singing about something that's, like, real going on
it's
in
really
my, like,
happening.
It's really happening, and I can't tell you it's really happening because I don't want to say any names, so I'm just going to sing you a song.
I just want Adele and Taylor Swift to date and then break up. And
yeah, that would be like the best.
Those would be the best records
album.
Ever.
Oh my god, they're so cool. They're so cool. Those are two women that I actually really admire, because they write their own music, I actually started writing my own music, and we recorded it when I was young. I think I was in, like, seventh grade.
That was a big thing back in my day when, you know, TRL was on after school.
Yes! And, oh, my God.
You know, so that was when Britney and Christina Aguilera.
I've been watching, like, those shows since, and I don't know, since, like, I could function a remote.
So in 99, you were... Don't say, I don't care. Stop. I don't want to hear
it. I can't do that math.
I don't want to hear that
sure,
math.
Sure, let's go five.
I don't want to hear the math.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, five. Thank you. That was five. It took me a while. By the way, I'm going to school for business.
Any. So for those of you looking.
Oh, my God.
For a sharp and studious, just don't ask her to do 22 minus 18. Have a calculator readily available.
Oh, my God. Well, we have our phones now.
Oh, heck yeah. You can just ask Siri. And it popped up. So the biggest knock where you would hear people, and it would almost sound like there was a chip on these people's shoulders, like these people that wrote their own music or had performed and, you know, been going at it really hard, where, you know, the Britneys and the Christinas and the Mandy Moores and those guys that were hitting Jessica Simpson, well, they don't write their own music.
Yeah.
All right, but they sing the shit out of it.
Some of them. Britney doesn't.
Well.
We'll go with some of them.
Yeah.
Well, I love Michael Bublé. He only has, one song that, like, he wrote by himself. All the other ones are covered.
Each one.
But he's incredible.
Each one of his albums.
He's such a showman. Correct. His concert was, like, incredible.
He's still a performer. Mm-hmm. Like, even Britney, even though she can't really sing, have you seen her dance? That woman can dance.
Well, there's a reason why they give her a residency in Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand the whole, like, why do we have to discredit people that are, like, they're up there for a reason. Why can't we just be like, yeah, they're up there, like,
well,
cool.
It's a society where we want to see people, it's sick, because it can go all the way from up there, from the high-performing, you know, talented people, all the way down to, you know, these dishwashers at a store or something, or at a restaurant. You want to see others fail, because it makes you feel good about yourself, and it's a horrible way to go through life.
But that's not at all like why we were created. Like, I truly, honestly believe we all have a seat at the table. Like, we all were given strengths for a reason, and I think when society fails is when we try to do something that is not our strength. Like, that's when we're competing against each other. And granted, like we say all the time, competition brings like innovation and it brings such and such and such. And it really does. It pushes you to a limit that you wouldn't have if you didn't have that motivation to see somebody else in front of you try to reach for the same thing. But really, we're just competing with ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, everyone else, the people I went to high school with, I'm not competing with anymore. The people I went to college with, I'm not competing with them anymore. Right. Like, we all think everything is a competition. It's not. It's your story of your life.
No, it's a matter of if someone's doing good, and whether you're working with them or you're working unilaterally, you know, it's you see someone succeed, you can build from that. If that person sees you succeed, they can build from that, and everybody ends up better.
Yeah.
So if I'm an artist and I you know, I'm like, well, I write my own stuff and blah 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 blah. But you see the Christina Aguileras who aren't writing their own back in the, you know, whenever.
Mm-hmm.
What is she doing well that I can add to my, you know, add to my repertoire?
Correct.
I can, you know, so for someone like you, you've been doing covers and now you're getting into writing your own music because you've probably got a lot to draw from to write your own music. You know, we joke about Taylor Swift and Adele, but they've got a lot to write about.
They
write it and they express themselves in their art, which is great.
I've actually written music since I was young. It's so weird. Because I remember being in student council, and we were, I was that person. I was, like, ultra, like, nerd in school. Like, super involved with everything. Like, let me do everything and be, like, Miss Perfect, you know? So we were doing, like, float building or something, and one of my friends knew that I wrote a song. And we were in somebody's basement, like, doing flowers for the float. And all these kids, like, the student council kids were cool kids. And my friend encouraged me. She's like, sing, 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 whatever. So I sang these few bars, and they're like, oh, my God, you're, like, the coolest person ever. And I was like, it's just so weird because that's just who I am. Like, I always have a song in my head. I can't shut it off at this point. Like, I have to live with my own crazy. But it's so cool to see that other people.
I love that. That should be on T-shirts.
I have to live with my own crazy?
Live with your own crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I feel bad for the person that I say I do to. God bless him. God bless him. No, but honestly, as long as I have music in my life, I will be happy, dear future husband, just so you know. One of my greatest skills is making fun of myself, let me tell you.
You have to. Because then it doesn't hurt when people do it to you.
No, I already know. It's fine. I did it by... It's fine.
I need a tissue. Anyway, you know, you talk about thank you for wiping away my tears. You know, we talk about, you know, like, oh, I can be reached at, you know, your Instagram especially, good for you.
Thanks, homie.
Good for you. Your Instagram, plug it.
Woo!
Where can they find you on Instagram?
Just search my name, Rosella LaDuca.
And you go out there and that's your fashionista page.
Oh my God. Yes.
That's another
Okay, so that was like a manifestation when I started working at Nordstrom. I left school, so I dropped out of college for a little bit after, like, I didn't have dance team anymore, and I just, like, the whole reason after I left Oakland was because, we went to Italy that summer, so I was, like, on this high of, like, being so busy and doing all the things that I loved, and then in the summer we went to Italy, and I was, like, just shaken up because I witnessed who we are as people, who my family is, who my parents are, who my grandfathers are. My grandmothers were, and I was just so humbled and felt like this kind of love that I can't even explain. Like, we all feel it when we go to Italy, and then when we come back, we're, like, a little depressed for about a month.
You're so right.
But I was, like, I was depressed. Like, I could not shake that. I felt like I was doing everything wrong. I felt like I had this eat, pray, love moment where I was just, like, I had these awesome memories. Like, I sang for my Nonna Caterina's 90th birthday party. You know what I mean? Like, I sang on the balcony on La Piazza. You know, and everyone there, like, knew me as, like, so-and-so's granddaughter. And it was just, like, it was so simple, and it was just beautiful. And I couldn't let that go. And so, anyway, I came back to school, and, like I said, I didn't have dance in my life anymore because there was no added value with a scholarship. So, my parents were like, don't do dance anymore. You're not really gaining anything from it. And I said, yeah, you're right. And that's when I stopped singing the national anthems because I asked for compensation and I wasn't getting anything. So, I said, you know what? Like, middle fingers up. Bye.
But and to promoters, not to America.
Not to America. I love America. I love Italy, too, you know. And I love the French people, even though I can't say beret. I can say croissant. Or what are they? Je m'appelle Rosella. Doesn't that sound French?
Yeah, good job. Thanks. Did you just tell me to go F myself?
No, my name is Rosella.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I came back from that and started working at Nordstrom. And that was like...
Nordstrom, you can send a couple shekels to the sale.
Yes, that too. They're not doing so hot right now, especially Partridge Creek.
Okay, but, less shekels than Alex and Ani then.
Yeah, Alex and Ani we want to reach for. But that was so fun. And it was like it wasn't a real job. It was like art every day. Right. I was a personal stylist. Yeah. And they promoted me within 6 months. They either wanted to make me a manager or a personal stylist. And I was kind of like on the fence, but... I recognized, like, when I first started the job that I'd watched a video of a girl personal styling. And, I don't know, I wanted to do it. It just something inside me was like, I'm gonna do this. It just seemed like so much fun. I can do that. And just kind of took off. And, like, you know, it was cool because I already knew everybody that was coming to the mall because it was, like, our family and friends. You know, like, you came a few times and... I just didn't recognize, like, how many women I knew at the mall. And people were like, oh, you're kind of popular. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I am. Like, I didn't realize it. And, you know, all of these relationships that I had made outside of the store and then the ones that I made in the store really brought me up to a different level. And I just got to play all day. It really did. It was just so much fun. And then I kind of recognized, like, that fashion and music, they all go together.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, when I get ready for a show now, I see the outfit first, which is so bad. But, like, 80% of your performance is visual. We learned this in communications. Mm-hmm. So half of what I'm saying right now is not even sticking to your brain right now because you're probably looking at Instagram.
Facebook Live.
People. Yeah, we can Facebook
Live. We can Live. Facebook Live. So you were saying that you started working at Nordstrom and you realized that a lot of people recognized you and you had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And I was going to get into to say, you know, it's another form of art.
Oh, all the way. Like, every day was, like, yeah, make your sales quota, kind of. I didn't really pay attention to that. I was like, do the best that I can do and then move on with your day. But I had like a business mindset where I would go in and make my calls, you know, I would put outfits together, I'd merchandise the floor, clean. So I still had like that small business mindset, but, every day was like, the focus was what is my outfit for today? And, that kind of got me into some trouble that my dad is not so happy about, because I opened up a Nordstrom card. But it's all great because, you know, now my wardrobe is fantastic, right, and I get so many compliments, and it's totally an investment, and I'm really rationalizing my financial decisions right now.
What's the percentage you said, the performance and people are looking at you? Yes. 80%?
So a comment that I made earlier was that 80% of your performance is visual. And
so you need that Nordstrom card.
You can do.
Nino, it's good. She's got this.
The Confessions of a Shopaholic. Don't do it. It's not good.
With the putting together the outfits and things like that, you really have to get to know people and, you know, their fashion tastes and everything like that. So that you can be part of that, and you can help them express themselves that way.
Yeah.
When you're putting together outfits for you for performing and things like that, do you have to read the room? Do you have to read where you're at?
A little bit of everything. So I start off with a vision. Like, before I go to bed, like, something, boom, hits me. It, first of all, it has to go with, like, whatever song that I'm singing. And I feel most comfortable with ballads and, obviously, like, Italian music in real-life performances. But, like, when I do covers, it kind of is, like, spur of the moment, like, I kind of look good today, or the lighting is good, so I'm going to sing. But with live performances, there's a lot more thought that goes into it. So yes, the venue is taken into account. Yes, what I'm singing is taken into account. And then lastly, my budget is taken into account. So I try to be a little bit more savvy with that, but I have certain stores that I go to that I already know, like, this is going to look good, or I have a color that I really want to express. So we did that, and I wanted black. I wanted, like, classic Italian beauty. So I did a black, like, high-neck dress, strapless, and then red lips. And I just thought, Sophia Loren. Like, that's what I want to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And
not a bad person to emulate.
No.
Even now.
I have a picture of her, actually, in my room. So, like, you know how they say make your vision boards and stuff? She's on my vision boards.
I have a picture of
make a vision board
and my Dos Equis guy.
Oh, okay, great. I love him, he's great.
Well, going back to the to your vision board.
Oh yes.
What's a vision board?
Have you ever read The Secret?
No.
Oh my god, you need to. So it's this whole belief on just visualization, and that, like, your life can manifest via visualization. And it was introduced in my life at a young age, kind of like by accident. We were at a family friend's house, and my dad was watching it with his friend. And I just was glued to the TV, and I was like, oh my God, like, this is the truth. This is, like, everything that can happen. And what it basically says is, like I said, power of visualization, the same thing as the power of prayer, where you kind of, like, ask universe, ask God. So I kind of started these vision boards, and like I said, it was introduced at a young age, and you can manifest things via prayer, via a mantra, via a vision board, via goals, however you decide to just navigate your life. And I highly suggest it. I think it's the highest form of metacognition and of direction in life. And I think that's why I've accomplished what I've accomplished, is because of prayer and because of having positive affirmations and positive people in my life. So that's huge.
It is a big deal, because it's you can go totally the different route and try to make it manufactured and something that you're not. But to be able to stick to it is something that I appreciate about you. And, you know, we talked about this already a little bit, but so your choir days and your band days, and now you're a part of a group that travels and does other performances, and that's kind of the part that I'm interested in. And I got into it before, but the business part of it, you know, it's a passion project, obviously, but you do got to get booked, and you do have to be, and the booking has to be something that suits you. You know, you can't just take a gig for whatever reason.
Like, there are certain things that I've told people, like, I will not do the bar scene. I can't and I won't. I'll do weddings, I'll do bar mitzvahs, baptism, communion, funeral, whatever, but I just won't do the bar scene because first of all, my parents aren't comfortable with it, and second of all, I'm not comfortable with it. I mean, there's so much crap going on with young women, and I feel like it's an environment that I don't want to be associated with. Not that it's a bad thing. We do it. We go to the bar. We have fun, whatever. But I just don't want to be associated with it.
You know, I'll open up the Italian Tribune, or I'll open up, you know, your great social media feeds that you are always out there. There's always a weekend where you're doing a wine tasting, or where you're doing an event, that the one at Villa Penna that you were talking about. And
it just happened.
You're out there, which is great.
It's just happening right now. Like, I can't even explain it. I think it's like, thank you, just God, to everyone, whoever's looking for me right now. Just, I feel like so humbled because it's something, like I said, that I've prayed for a really long time, that actually there was like a very predominant point in my life where actually this past summer I sang for the Italian Festa. And I've sang for the Festa before as like a young, I think I was like 15. Aaron Caruso, like, held out his hand, was like, I want you to sing with me. And I was fortunate enough to have that opportunity first and foremost with him. And then, you know, yeah, so, and he's been, like, my biggest supporter. He's been the person who's in the Italian community, like I said, has literally, like, held out his hand and said, you're the next generation, follow me. And
what recognition. That's great.
No, really, like, he's one of my best friends, and I take his advice very seriously. I take a lot of musicians' advice seriously, and I take their perspective seriously, but he's one that has connected me, and I'm, like, forever grateful for it, so.
And you guys, when you're performing, it's always two of you, or do you have others with you as well?
It depends. I mean, it's done, we've done duos, we've done trios, we've done, you know, four or five. It just depends on the show. And who's available.
How do you determine the set list and what you're going to sing, or, you know, the chemistry?
Well, the chemistry, we're kind of like a group now, the Bellini Opera group. We have a set list of artists that you can see on our Facebook, or you can see on our website. And
plug them.
Yeah.
Plug them.
Boom. What Bellini are they? Bellini Opera. Well, predominantly it's Dino Valli. He is the director and one of the co-founders. My grandfather, Rosalino Loduca, had started this. Because he loves art, too, and he just loves the Italian community and wanted to give back. So I'm so grateful that he created this platform, or else I literally would be singing in the shower or on Facebook, like, live, something like that, you know?
We're not going to ask you to do that with the major today. Surgery you had today.
Not today. I can open my jaw, but not all the way. So, but Dino Valli, Aaron Caruso, he's the artistic director. I'm the marketing director. So that's why I'm doing like constant like plugins. Hi. And then Eva Evola is one of our high sopranos. She sings a lot for Bellini. Lisa Gazzi sings a lot for Bellini. Who else? We've had Alexei the last show. He's Russian, fantastic. Giuseppe Bicardi. I think I pronounced his last name correctly. And then our pianist, I mean, they kind of come, like, in and out. You know what I mean? So it's, like, whoever's available, because we're artists. We live this kind of, like, weird gypsy life where, like, we'll be singing with this band or that band or this person or maybe have family gigs. So, but as far as, like, answering your question with how things are selected, people-wise, it's who's available, first and foremost. And second of all, the song lists are created by both the artist and the musical director. So Dino will come up with a theme and say, like, hey, like, we're doing a concert. We're doing a concert in May. It's about spring. So
where?
The Italian American Cultural Center.
What time?
I think it's 7 p.m.
Tickets are available at?
Call Dino Valli's number, and it'll be on my Facebook, and it'll also be on the Bellini Opera page, and probably Salamano's page now, right?
I will plug it.
Beautiful.
All good.
Connections. So it's on the 21st of May, and it's a spring theme. I know May's a crazy month, but we'll be singing, like, classical music, Napoli Don, just all of that fun at the Italian American Cultural Center. Of course, we can't sing any other language.
So, yeah, I mean, so you have English songs, you have Italian songs.
Yeah.
So if, like, the Croatian club were to call you, or, you know, the Polish club or whatever.
Yeah.
you're gonna go sing there or no? I mean, how you have to pick your audience.
They haven't called me yet, but I just don't feel like if they call me, cool. Like I'll come. Like I feel like I'd be like, oh yeah, we're cousins.
Yeah, you know,
like,
for sure.
We're not really good.
It's all Europe. Like, it's right there.
Just like when Chaldean say, you look Chaldean. Yeah. I'm like, not Chaldean.
So not so much.
How
important now to you guys?
Such a long video.
Because your guys, it's fine. And they're not going to watch. They can jump in and out. It's
They'll
all good.
Jump in and out.
If you got to take a shower, if you got to go eat, we'll still be here.
If your mom's calling you.
Yeah, because I talk a lot.
He has a talk show
I've been
a
told.
Reason.
Too much.
That's why you have a quiet wife. She balances you.
Oh, yeah, the yin to my yang. Mm-hmm. Except the side eye that I get
husband,
most of the time.
Let me tell you, I already know. My future husband is going to be mute. Like, freaking mute. No word, no room for words at all. Nope, going to say it all. It's fine.
It's good. Mm-hmm. We don't want to make decisions. That's the one of the worst parts. What do you want to eat tonight? That's a trap. That's a trap question. That's a trap question. Don't ever ask future husband, what do you want to eat tonight?
I won't.
It's a trap.
I'll be like.
Or, what do you want to do tonight? That's another trap.
Great.
Because I want to watch.
Red flag.
I want to watch sports.
Because you'd rather be watching the draft.
It's
right
not
now.
True. I would not be anywhere other than with you right now.
Oh my God. We probably have less viewers right now because of the draft. So what else are we talking about?
I don't know. You. I want to hear about your singing.
I feel like
I'm on a date. Then where's the checklist? Where do you go to school? What
no,
do you study?
That's like
blah,
an
blah,
interview.
Blah. Yeah, well, that's how first dates are
usually like comprised of. Yeah.
Well, now it's swiping left
this
or right.
No. This is mine. What's your last name?
Oh, it doesn't
does
end,
it
in,
end
a
in a vowel.
See ya.
Bye. Hold on. Do I know your parents? Do my parents know your parents? If that's a no, goodbye. Because we have to do the background check.
You've mentioned Sophia Loren. You mentioned,
yes.
But you haven't mentioned a whole lot of Ashley Simpson, who you started listening to when you were little.
Fourth grade.
Some of the artists that you feel, who do you want to emulate? Who do you, when you?
Question.
Okay, then we won't ask it.
No, you can this ask
is,
this.
No,
question.
No, because this is the second time. Like I asked Ted, I'm like, oh Ted, what's your fit? And he's like, I hate this freaking question and blah blah blah. Because
it changes.
Sure.
It changes.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll be listening to music. I'll listen to a song, like, on end for weeks because either I have to learn it or I just become obsessed with it. But I don't have, like, there are certain strengths that I emulate in certain artists for a reason. And if I could morph them all in to be, like, the ultimate artist, I would morph them into be me,
give me
right?
that. Give me your ultimate artist.
Song.
Give me your ultimate artist. Whose voice, whose appearance, whose charisma, whose personality, whose...
Okay, so work ethic, I would say Jennifer Lopez or Beyonce. And I know that's like, oh my God, so cliche. But if you look at Jennifer Lopez, she's a dancer, actor, and singer. Triple threat. And she kills it in all three. And I'm just dabbling into acting. Probably not the best. But if I could ask to have that talent, it would be to have all three. And Beyonce... They are both savvy business women too. Like they have their clothing lines, they have their fashion lines, they have fragrances, they, you know, promote their family. And what's really nice is like, especially with Beyonce, and my father has pointed this out, is that she lives a private life. Like nobody ever really talks about Beyonce's kid. Beyonce's this or like they're her family is like her treasure. Do not touch her family. Mm-hmm. You can talk about her art, you can say whatever you gotta say. But do not talk about her family. And that's one thing that she has done a great job of.
Well, it's got to be really hard because they're very public, too. I mean, you're always seeing them at Nets games, and I know Jay-Z's involved with the Nets. And obviously, she tours everywhere, and she's just a huge, huge figure to keep your kids out of the spotlight like that.
It's hard. But they don't sell their family like the Kardashians do. So... Work ethic and, like, business savvy-wise, I would say J-Lo and Beyonce. Like, that work ethic and the business mindset, I think, in anything you do will keep you surviving and keep you fruitful. Mm-hmm. Because you have to figure out to reincarnate that and keep the wheel going and still eat and feed your family, you know, because I can't be living with my parents forever. And if I want to make this a real thing and eat from it, I have to figure out... what the formula
is. How to put it together, right.
So, that would be it. Culture-wise, I'm going to pull Sophia Loren, because she's so old school, and she just emulates everything in, like, Italian world. Just so classy. Elegant beauty. Natural. Hello, we don't see that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm over here showing you my wisdom tooth cheek, okay? And people are over here getting, like, lip injections. Like, what is that? Like, we don't need that. No, thank you. Bye.
So, feel around, you don't think has ever had any?
I mean, maybe, but... but, I mean, when she was younger, she was, like, just she was beautiful. Classic beauty right there.
She still is.
She is. And she ate pasta. And I'm gonna eat pasta. So, that's it.
I have none to offer you, sorry.
It's okay. I can't eat it anyway. We've got to mash it up.
It was a chicken night tonight.
My friend...
There was breadcrumbs on it.
Listen.
Because you got to remember, we're Sicilian.
Yeah. It's so weird. All these people in my life are coming into, like, via my Facebook, like, who write music and, like, are performing. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're here for a reason. Well, like, it's so cool.
Again, you see you out there, and then people are going to gravitate towards, like, well, let me check out what's going on with her. And
we collab.
Oh, cool. Look, so she's got this, and then you share your story, and like, oh my God, you know, so you want to bounce off of that and draw inspiration from one another.
Yeah.
And that's how you surround yourself with the people that you want to, you know, be with and draw inspiration from.
Totally.
So it's just going to happen naturally.
So and back to that's the best way to do board. It.
Yeah.
When we're talking about like the ultimate
artist. Yeah, the ultimate artist.
So we have Beyonce and J-Lo for work ethic, culture, Sophia Loren, and also Selena. Have you ever seen her?
Not me. I'm not super.
So her movie, first of all, one thing that I also like about all these artists is that they have their families involved.
J-Lo was in the movie.
She was.
There you go.
She was. But she was like the spokesperson for her culture. She was like the Latina that everybody wanted to emulate. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like recognize that like in the Italian world, there's like no Italian girl. You know what I mean? I don't know if we actually, like, can categorically say, like, anymore that each culture has their own woman. We kind of, like, got away from that. But, like, if that came back, that would be so awesome. Like, the ultimate Italian girl, the ultimate African-American girl, the ultimate whatever. And you know, we give these titles to women for a myriad of things, but that would be cool. I would pull for her. My inspiration to keep my culture alive and
be
the representative for
that. I remember when they killed her. Like, I wasn't really into the music. I didn't know. But the news, the reaction, like, especially in America, what a big deal that was. And that's when you started hearing the stories about what happened and my gosh. And then you know, you had the little pieces on what an inspiration she was and saying exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine what it was like in her homeland.
Just like a loss. Just a huge loss.
Because since then, has there been an artist Mm-mm. like her? Male or female?
No.
We're eventually going to finish your ultimate artist.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we pulled the culture aspect. We pulled the work ethic.
It's going to be a real hard edit.
Voice?
Yeah, I know.
There's going to be no edit.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think. It's just going to be one slew of
we're
4 hours.
It's
going to
be like a 4-hour podcast.
Part 1, part 2, part 3. Are you sick of me yet?
Wait, this is where I say, with a radiant personality like yours, we aren't sick of you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
That was such a line of bullshit.
I had it written on my hand. It wasn't.
Oh my God, thank you.
Ultimate artist. Let's go finish this.
Voice? There's so many great voices.
I have people tell me that I don't care for this kind of music because of this. Okay. I don't care for this type of music because of this, or I don't like this person's voice because of that. Your ear is trained. I listen to Blink 182 and I listen to Angel and all their offshoot bands. And I really like them. That's who I listen to. And mm-hmm. I gravitate more towards the radio punk or the pop punk or whatever. And that's what I like.
Interviewed Joe.
But I really enjoy, he's hardcore punk. It's a totally different thing.
But
he will be the first one to tell you. Which is fine, but he started with it. Yeah, he said he drew inspiration from Mark Hoppus. And, you know, Joe's an artist and he loves his art, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But he was one of the voices that, you know, so like, I don't care for this type, I don't care for this type. As an artist, and you have a more trained ear, what makes you determine I don't like their voice or I don't like their voice?
First of all, it's pitch and tone.
What's pitch and tone?
So pitch is, okay, so you have a note. So let's just say for all you musicians out there, like, you have to sing A flat. I don't have perfect pitch, which means I internally have, like, the piano inside of my body, and I can just say, like, a note and sing it. I have to hear it first and then can sing it. But let's say we have to reach for a note. So we'll say A flat. Well, think of the note A flat as a bullseye. You want to hit it right in the middle. If you go too low or too high, you're still in the A flat zone. You're still on the map, right? But you didn't hit it perfectly. So pitch is how well you are on that note, how perfect or how close you can get to the actual tonality of that note. Tone is in regards to somebody's, not their style, but just how they sound. So if they have a lighter tone, if they have a darker tone, if they have a clearer tone, some people have more vibrato. One person, I can't think of somebody, Adele, has such a clear, crisp tone when she sings. There's like no like hoarseness in her voice. Whereas Aerosmith, Steve Tyler. When he sings and he gets really high, his tone gets like really raspy, right? So those are two.
Yeah, but Adele's voice is different though.
She's totally different.
It's very, here we go. No, I'm going to say bluesy.
Yes.
Am I right?
All the way.
Oh yeah, I'm right.
All the way. But that's what I like about her because she just, it's like lamentation. It's like, it's just literally like her heart is literally, I'm singing from my heart. Like she has nothing else. She doesn't hide anything. Mm-hmm. She can't. You know, and there's no distractions when she sings. There's no dancers here and there, which, I mean, that's fine. You know, I like that type of music, too. It has its purpose, and it's fun to party, too. Like, I love me some Pitbull. I love me some J-Lo with the background dancers. But, like, when I sing, I like to sing, like, Adele or, like, Celine Dion or somebody who's going to wear, like, a beautiful gown and just has an accompaniment or it doesn't have an accompaniment and just, like, sings to you and just in a crowd full of people feels like, boom, I hit you. I hit your soul. That's what I want people to feel like. I got their soul. So I want to go deep when I sing to people.
How do you train your voice to get to, you know, hitting that target, hitting that bull, that bullseye? Is there a way, or do you just say,
no, it is your ear.
I've got it, I don't have it, or?
It is your ear. I've had different teachers teach me different things along the way, whether it's like visualization where you have to like, you have to visualize you like, going over the note like a wave. You also have to think of your voice as like going over your tongue or like going over your throat, you know, kind of a thing. And singers know what I'm talking about when I say this. And as far as the tonality is concerned, you have to be able to listen and to know if like your band is in tune, because you as a singer, you're an instrument too, so you can be off kilter. And one thing that I've noticed, like, my instrument is my body. So if I don't take care of my body, my instrument's shot. If I don't get enough sleep, if I'm too stressed out, if I'm really, really anxious, I will automatically go too high in pitch. So that means that I will become sharp. So musicality, or, like, for everyone else who's visualizing the bullseye right now that doesn't know music, like, I overreached. So I like, pushed myself too hard because I was anxious. And that just, I feel like, has come with singing at multiple gigs, paying attention to my body, paying attention to like watching myself on video again. I always do that. As soon as I'm done with the show, I'll always watch my video. And I always make sure like somebody's videotaping me. That's why I'm always out there, is because I give, here, take my phone. Here, do this. Here, do that. Like, I want people to see that I'm doing stuff. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that I'm making moves. I'm trying to, at least.
Right.
You know?
So Adele, Celine Dion, Steven Tyler.
Well, we said Steven Tyler just to give you an example of tonality.
But yeah. I could tell that Adele and Celine Dion, though, was your...
Yeah, I love belting. Like, it's so pretty to go up and be like Mariah Carey, like, wah, wah, wah. Like, so cute, but it's kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, cool, you can get that high. It sounds like you're in pain. Like, no voice should be that high. Like Ariana Grande, when she gets up that high, I feel like she's the new Mariah Carey. My generation's Mariah Carey, at least. Ultimate artist.
Adele, Celine Dion.
Yeah. I don't know. What other aspects make up? Okay. Somehow, some way, I want to be able to incorporate Lady Gaga's passion, but like not her like... So she's politics. Super creative. No, forget about the politics.
Yes, thank you.
Never.
We should.
No. She's so creative, but she tends to be really like good. So creative that it's outlandish and like crazy to some people.
Do you think she's trying too hard, or is that just her?
I think that's just her because I just feel like she has a very developed mind. Like she went to school, private school, and she was exposed to like high political things and different ideals And
well, it's funny because you would think the private schools are more conservative, and she's not.
Yeah, but you can't say that somebody's going to be a byproduct of certain environment given that. Like, if it's in your destiny to be whoever you are, your environment will only contribute to a certain aspect of what you will learn in this life. I think if you're meant to be that person, you're going to be that person no matter where you go. Even if she had to go to prison for a little bit. You know what I mean? Not that I ever want Lady Gaga to go to prison, but, like, take somebody and their environment, like, versus who they're supposed to be. I totally believe in the destiny.
But she markets it different.
She does.
It's all the different. She's had so many different looks where people were like, oh, well, she's just emulating Madonna and trying to be. Well, yeah, Madonna's been one of the most successful artists of all time.
Yeah.
Why not try to do that? I mean, you know, in sports, oh, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Well, there's the answer right there.
Yeah.
Do that. And if it's working for her and she can have more of a reach.
But she's done so many, like, different things too, like the meat dress, like people still talk about that. Mm-hmm. Like even now, like when she did the Super Bowl, that was epic. It was such high energy, like jumping from the ceiling.
When she took the WrestleMania entrance from Shawn Michaels.
Yeah,
Google it, you'll see.
Totally,
she totally got there from Shawn Michaels.
He loves wrestling and sports,
Mr. WrestleMania. But so anyway. I mean, so the ultimate artist. When I asked that question, I kind of, you know, obviously the work ethic was one that I wouldn't have thought of. Voice obviously would have been one that I thought of. On stage charisma, media persona, you know, because everybody's got a couple different sides to them and they handle themselves differently. Like, you know, Beyonce, for her work ethic, I'm not crazy how she handles herself in the media. And, you know, Lady Gaga, for her creativity, I'm not crazy about how she handles herself. But then they can probably be the best showman ever.
Totally.
Michael Bublé was of the concerts that I've been to, you know, Michael Bublé to me was the best showman that I've seen.
He's very class.
I mean, he puts on a great show.
He's so funny.
He's very funny. And the songs that he sings are a type of song that, you know, not everybody's going to be into.
Yeah.
But he does it such justice. He doesn't try to change it and make it his own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be important as a cover artist is... You do want to put your spin on there,
yeah.
And maybe you're changing some of the music, but you can't change too much of the song.
Yeah, because
you didn't come across that too.
Yeah, you didn't do it. You weren't the first to do it, you know. And I think there's like a level of comfort when you sing a cover that everyone knows. Like when we sing "O Sole Mio,"
mm-hmm.
Oh my God, everybody in Italy like hears it and is like, you know, they just jump along to that song because it's like your anthem. It's like you've heard it a million times and you've heard it a million times this way.
Right.
Don't change it. Don't deviate from
it.
But then one thing though too is like when you do such popular songs too, you have to do it justice.
Mm-hmm.
And you will automatically get compared with everyone else and their mother who's already sang it.
Well, it's a compliment to the original artist that you're paying homage to them.
Mm-hmm.
So and you can almost take it the wrong way. Someone listening to your version that's you changed it and you made it your own too much
mm-hmm.
can say they did an injustice to that song.
Yeah.
And that can turn them off to you as you're trying to create something on your own as well.
Totally. Everyone will have an opinion about how you perform and what you perform with. I think at the end of the day, as long as you can create something that like emulates with your soul and resonates with you, you're the one who did it. And you have to be able to walk away from it, rest your head there at night and say, I did a good job. Or I liked it. Because, I mean, I can't foresee what everyone is going to say.
Right.
And it's not going to be everyone's favorite song.
No.
And it's not going to resonate with everyone. But ultimately, like, the songs that I choose to sing obviously do have a level of real-life meaning to me. Like, I'll sing about love all day, day in and day out, because that's, like, one of the biggest emotions that I feel. Like, within my family, within my circle of friends, within the people that I work with.
All your favorite people.
All my favorite people. Oh, no, but I just feel so loved. And I know that there's so many people that don't have what I have. And I just, like, it's such a disservice. Like, I feel like so many people are fighting themselves and fighting the system and fighting each other because they don't have the love that we have,
mm-hmm.
that we experience. And we take it for granted. We really do. Like, Giovanna grows up with a mother and father that love her forever and will protect her forever. I have parents that will do the same for me. And until we recognize that and see, like, oh my God, I have so many people, like, behind them, my grandfathers, my great-grandfathers, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, that, like, truly, honestly, will do anything for me, what else do I need? Like, I don't need it. I feel so fulfilled in my life right now. I feel at peace and I feel love.
And it's got to make it easier to perform. And
well, I was trying to tell you a story about this summer when I sang for the Italian Festa.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of got off on a tangent about how Aaron Caruso is my mentor.
But that's what makes these things the best.
Yeah, because we go on tangents that are just not planned. But with talking about manifestation and how this will come into my life, yes, I have my own agenda. But I've come to the point where I recognize that I'm not completely in control. Like, all I can control is how well I treat people and how well I perform sometimes. Because sometimes it's not all up to me. There'll be malfunctions. Microphone will be off, or I will feel hoarse or whatever and tired. But it is about the connections and the people that God will introduce to me and the opportunities he will give me. And I openly and like completely give myself to be his instrument. Like, and I had said that after, I said a prayer after I had won the vocalist of the year at the Italian Festa this summer. And I was at Holy Family Church. And the day after that, we went to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
So Pochettino's there, you know, the whole community's there. And I'm like, you know, everyone was congratulating my Nona Mimo. I went with him. And I just saw, like, how much joy that brought him. How much joy it brings both of my grandfathers and my parents and, like, not my siblings, really, but mostly, like, my grandparents, that they're so proud to, like, showcase. They're always proud to showcase their nibude, you know?
Right.
But in particular, it was, like, so cool that, you know, I'm following his dream. This is his dream.
That's got to draw inspiration for you, too, to just really work at it hard and to know what you're filling them with.
Oh, yeah.
And not to say that, like, you would ever let them down if, you know, stop doing it or stop pursuing it. But, I mean, how cool is that, that he gets to see, like, they all get to see that from fourth grade in the basement, listening to Ashley Simpson, that it's become this. And not only just this, but, like, keeping it traditional and singing the Italian songs that they grew up on and that they loved and, you know, really listen to all the time. That's got to be huge for you, too, to continue to drive and to continue to go.
And when we went to Italy, it brought me so much inspiration. Like, no idea. You just felt, like, this other sense of something that was greater than you. And I'm in it. I'm living it. Like, I have my noni that taught me it, you know? And I live these traditions and, like, I used to fight it so hard when I was in high school because I was, you know, surrounded by people that didn't hold these traditions and it was hard. It was hard to be me. But now that I'm out of it, living those traditions and like that, I've recognized it's made me who I am. Like, why am I trying to fight it? So I've kind of embraced it and looked at the perspective a different way instead of saying like, oh my God, my parents won't let me be a pop star. Like, maybe I'm not supposed to be a pop star.
Right.
Maybe I'm supposed to be like, you know, a classy person who sings Neapolitan songs. Or a Sicilian song.
Say it right, please. You're in the presence of one.
Napolitan.
Thank you.
Musica.
Thank
when
you.
When I'm supposed to sing La Musica Napolitan.
That's our boy Mario Merola.
Yeah.
I have
a lot of homework to do in those aspects too. Like, I get song requests from old school Italian friends and I'm like, oh my God, I know nothing. I know zero.
Well,
like,
there's so many. I mean,
there are.
You know, again, so we can look at it and be like, oh my God, there's so many American artists and so many English artists where you've got two cultures that you have to learn.
Yeah.
And that's got to be one of the hardest parts is learning a new song and being able to train your voice and to train your tone and pitch to reach where you got to reach to perform in front of hundreds of people, thousands of people.
I mean, yes and no, because it's who I am. Because I am two cultures. I am the byproduct of two cultures. So speaking to those audiences is just speaking to myself. I get where they come from.
There's no nerves at all for you.
Always. Every time there's nerves. Oh, it's the worst.
I don't know how you do it.
It's the worst. Oh, it's the worst feeling ever. My gumari knows this. So my gumari, Alessandra Di Mercurio. Everyone knows, like, is my gumari because of Facebook, which is so awesome. And my best friend Nancy. Like, they know how nervous I get before a show. Like, there's a lot of thought that comes into it. There's a lot of hours of like listening to the same song over and over and over again, and like I hold myself to a high standard when I sing because that's what I love to do and it's my best self, so I want to perform to my best ability. And
because you have to learn so much, And it doesn't prevent a challenge, and you have no nerves because...
Oh, my God. Lies.
Well,
lies.
Whatever.
Biggest nerves. Like, the nerves you got before you took the ACT, and you were like, if I don't do well on this, I can't go to college. That's me every time before I perform.
You would never know that you're nervous. You don't look like you're nervous when you're out there.
Yeah.
You look like you're at home.
So what do you do? What do you use to get over that?
You never get over it. Never.
Really?
But you perform.
Gwen Stefani said that. I watched The Voice a lot. As you can see. She always says that. She never, ever, she said she's nervous all the time. She said you never get over it.
You don't. But it's like that fight or flight, you know? It's supposed to be there. Like, you're scared. You're about to, like, do something that can change people for a minute or 2 seconds or maybe not even do anything to them. But hopefully give them a memory and give you a memory. Like, I have so many great memories of singing. You know, of, like, different parties that I've given songs to or sang to people or, like, you know, given them, like, a shout-out to. And, like, that makes them feel like the best person in the world. Just a little bit of recognition goes mm-hmm. such a long way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, it doesn't go away. I don't want it to go away. I think some artists will try to make it go away with drugs and alcohol. And, like, I know some that will... like drink before they sing, or like even some famous people, like you see them, or even like comedian friends that I know, or you know, just anyone in the performing industry.
What's a problem? I mean, you can't go through a news feed or whatever you're looking at and see this person's in rehab, this person OD, this person admits to having this issue. Yeah. And
Johnny Depp is now bankrupt.
Surprise.
And like all of the like books that I'm reading on like being like creating a destiny that's like strong, like you can't have that in your life. You just can't. You just got to deal with it. Deal with your nerves. Don't cover them up. They're supposed to be there, you know? And I don't think that they make you a better musician. Oh, I feel more relaxed. That's a crock of crap.
No, because you almost have to. Okay, so you keep the nerves and if the nerves went away, do you kind of take it where it's, oh, I'm too comfortable now and I have leeway to, you know, take the night off? Or do the nerves keep you like, I need to really hammer in here
the
and
nerves make
be
me
the
focused.
Best that I can be? Yeah. Yeah.
The nerves make me focused. It's like the calm before the storm. The opposite, though. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the storm is a brewing with the nerves. And then, like, when I finally get up and I sing my first two notes, and then that's when I feel like I'm home. Is when I can, like, zero everyone out. There's been times where I've literally, like, looked my nonny in the face. Like, my nonno Ro, at Villa Pena when we sang, I looked at him and I was singing Caruso. And
love that song.
I sang the chorus and it was Te voglio bene assai. And he just, I looked at him and I, like, my voice quivered. Because I was singing, like, I was singing, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that was, like, eye contact. And I've sang before to my nonno Mimo. And same thing. Like, I just looked at him, and it was just, like, that's for you. You know? Like, getting teared up.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean...
Yeah.
But, again, those are the ones that introduced you, that are pushing you not pushing you the heart, but believe in you the most. So you do owe that to them.
Yeah.
You know, and you owe the best performance, and you owe... to let them know this is how you feel.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe there's not enough of that once you get to the point where most people are, where they forget how they got there and it becomes very mechanical.
Yeah. I don't want to forget. I want to remember, not that this is a struggle, but this is like, we're building something, you know what I mean? Like, I'm part of a community that's already built some amazing things, and I want to keep these relationships positive. I want to keep them supporting it, because I know there's going to be like this weird time in my life where all of a sudden they all just raise me up. I just feel it. I just feel like that's something that's just going to happen. Like, and I can't explain it. Like I said, if it raises me up to whatever level it is, I know it's not going to be because of me, right? Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, indirectly, you know that they're doing it already. I mean, your nonno Mimo, everybody that, oh, that's my granddaughter.
Yeah.
You know, you said you went to Italy and you're like, oh, your Mimo's Nibude.
Yeah.
You know, they're already raising you up already.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you see on your followers and everybody, how big a part of that is probably from them. Like, yeah. Oh, I remember her. That's Mimo's granddaughter or whatever. You know, so that's...
It's so weird that people remember you, too. Most of the time, people teach you what not to do. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they teach you what not to do. But there are those few people that you keep close and, you know, you create that little circle of trust.
Right.
And they teach you what to do. And you got to emulate that. And you got to be reminded of it on a daily. Because that's what motivation is. It's a muscle. You got to work at it every single day. Every day. You got to pray for it. You got to talk about it. You got to ask for it. You got to podcast it. You got it. You have to work at it every single day. But it's work. But it's like, I enjoy doing it.
Well, it's not work then. I mean, that's the... That's
like, my face hurts right now just a little bit, but I forgot about it. Note to all the viewers, listeners, when your dad texts you, you gotta get home as an Italian girl. Boom, we're done. There goes the dynamite. All right.
So where do you see this ending? Or do you... What do you see yourself saying, I reached where I needed to reach? Or do you not see that because you just want to keep going and you don't want to get comfortable?
I think it's all about learning and growing. But I know, like, kind of where I want to hit. I know, like, what the aim is. I won't say it because I, like... Because
it's out there and you don't want to...
Because it's out there, yeah. And, like, God knows what it is and, like, I know what it is and, like, I know what it is. But if I don't make it, it's for a reason. Like, if, God forbid, I get married and have kids, that's not a bad thing. I didn't do it because I stopped. It's because I had a different direction. Shift. Yeah. You know? Or if somebody wants to hire me in the business world, for God knows what, you know, like, it's meant to be. So I just kind of, like, I know what I want. I know what my heart's intention is. But if I don't make it, it's for a reason. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
And that's going to make you a better performer, too. If you're comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Rosella, where can we find you? Where if we needed to see you and your group and everybody and get all the info, where can we find you?
Definitely on my Facebook. So just search my name, Rosella LaDuca. Rosella LaDuca. And then I'm also on Instagram posting covers and, like you said, the fashionista stuff. Love the fashion, love the music, go hand in hand. And I also have a Twitter account. I think it's like Rolo with 3 O's and 4 4.
Inactive.
So basically on all the social media sites, I have a goal to have a website. I do have really old YouTubes up there, so you can see the manifestation of Rosella as a child singing at the Joe's Arena, which is a cool story that we'll tell you later.
Yeah.
On YouTube. And, yeah. So basically on all the social media platforms, you can find me.
Good. Nice. Yeah. Rosella, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate you coming out and the struggle of getting through the root canal and doing my show.
And, it was a pleasure. It was honestly, like, I went through no pain right now.
Good.
No pain.
Except when your dad gets a hold of you.
Oh,
you
my God. I'm going to have another bloody face. I just have another chipmunk cheek on this side.
You got a match.
Yeah.
Rosella, thank you so much.
Thanks for being here.
Okay. A lot of fun doing that one. It's really cool to see someone that young have such introspective into life and get real deep, especially when she started talking about her family and, you know, her background and her culture, you know, being Italian. And, you know, it's real important to all of us Italians. You know, we're very prideful people, like we said earlier. And just to hear someone that young really wear that, you know, wear her heart out there. And so good luck to her. Thanks again for coming onto the show. It was really cool to do the Facebook Live in the middle of this. And if you guys go to my Facebook or her Facebook, definitely check that out because a lot of that stuff didn't make the show. But it was really cool to do that. It was a lot of fun. And it was all Rosella. I mean, she's got that personality that will bring a lot out in you. And go check her out, the Bellini Opera Group. Go find her by searching her name on Facebook and on Instagram, and maybe not so much her Twitter, but that's okay. And thank you guys again for listening. Spread the word. I appreciate you guys all liking it, and make sure you keep sharing it. And that's the best way to get views. And, you know, we'll do this. We'll keep doing this. And until next time, thanks.